Are all Christians overcomers, or is that a special class of believers? Find out on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm really excited that you've decided to join us today. Our discussion leaders are Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, both theologians and authors. They'll be taking us on our guided tour of this important topic. So, here's today's Grace in Focus discussion.
Hi, I'm Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Everybody loves a winner, and everybody wants to be a winner. We admire people who succeed in life. We like to brand ourselves with clothing that shows that we are victorious type people, right?
Exactly.
One of the most popular shoe brands in the world is
Nike. Yeah.
Nike. And Nike is named after the goddess of victory.
Right.
So everybody wants to be victorious. Even in the Christian life, people want to be successful. That's why the prosperity gospel is so popular.
Sure.
But we always need to check those expectations against Scripture. And in this episode, we want to ask the question, what is an overcomer, biblically speaking?
Right. And basically what you're asking is, what is a victorious Christian, biblically speaking? What does the Bible say about how we can be victorious? Because that Greek word nikao is the verb form. The noun is Nike for victory. Nikao means to overcome, to be victorious. And in the Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches are repeatedly called to be overcomers.
And by the way, so let's set up the context here. The first few chapters of Revelation where Jesus is addressing these churches, he doesn't have a whole lot of good things to say about these churches.
Right. We have a couple of them that are doing well, but the rest have varying degrees of problems. But yet he's still holding out the hope of overcoming to all seven churches.
So, for example, Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." So it's almost like Jesus is holding out overcoming as a possibility, but not as a guarantee necessarily.
Exactly. Now, on this one, which is a bit of a problem passage, some people think the Lord is saying, if you don't overcome, you will be hurt by the second death. But most likely what's going on here is litotes, which is understatement. And he's saying not only will he not be hurt by the second death, but he will be exalted. The overcomer will be exalted. And I think that also fits several of the other uses in Revelation 2 and 3.
Well, so another one would be Revelation 2, verse 17. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." And so now we would say that is a classic example of a rewards passage. Jesus isn't saying you only get eternal life if you overcome. He's saying if you overcome, you get these special rewards.
Right. Hidden manna. And remember, manna was the special bread from heaven that came down for the people of Israel during their 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus is saying that's coming back. Just like the tree of life from the Garden of Eden is coming back, so is the manna. And evidently, it's going to be very tasty, and evidently, it's going to enhance one's life. But only the overcomers get to eat it, and only the overcomers get this special, what would you call it, jewelry? It's a special white stone that's engraved with a name that only you and the Lord Jesus know. And it's obviously going to bring you great joy to look down and see that nickname. I mean, I remember I worked for a Christian company one year in college. I was a driver for a courier service, and my nickname was Stilts, you know, because I'm 6'6". So they would call me Stilts, and it always, we used to use radios back in that day, and they'd radio me and say Stilts, and I'd get a kind of smile on my face because they meant it as a term of endearment. Well, if the Lord Jesus has a nickname for you or for me that only we know, wow, wouldn't that bring us great joy to look down at that white stone and see that name he has for us?
Right. So this is very interesting because a lot of people think victory is automatic. Well, at least some Christians think victory is automatic. They
right.
think so long as you believe, you get everything. You get all the blessings and you don't lose out on anything. And
right.
you're going to have everything that God offers when you die. But then there are other people who think that even salvation itself is a work. The whole of the Christian life is just this laborious thing where you're trying to earn salvation. And so they think of salvation as a reward.
And they even think salvation can be lost.
And they think it can be lost if you don't work hard enough. And so we're taking more of an eclectic view, and we're saying two things. One, being born again is easy. All you need to do is believe in Jesus for eternal life, and you have that life. Just that one requirement is to believe in Jesus for what he promises.
Right.
But now victory is not necessarily easy. Overcoming is not necessarily easy. Getting these eternal rewards is not necessarily easy.
No, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ day by day by day. And this involves suffering for Christ. It involves living for Christ in a world that's hostile to him and to his message and to his mission. And so, yes, we're called to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil all oppose us being victorious. But the Spirit of God can and will make us victorious if we continue to abide in Christ and in his word.
Although you can never lose your eternal life, once saved, always saved, rewards are a completely different story. Becoming an overcomer is a completely different story, and it is possible to fail in the Christian life. And we have many examples of that in Scripture, and one example is a fellow named Demas.
Right. People can go to our website, faithalone.org, and see an article I wrote about Demas. But in several of Paul's letters, at the end of his letters, he mentions Demas as one of his faithful co-workers.
For example, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, here's what Paul says. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So Demas is, at that point, is working alongside Paul. He's working with Paul. And Luke.
Yeah, I mean, right? This is an exalted position.
Right. I mean, he's like right-hand man of either of those two guys. Would be amazing to have ministered with them. But then when you go on later in Paul's, near the very end of his career, into 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, here's what he says about Demas. Starting in verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas forsook Paul. He was with Paul. He was working with Paul. He was working with Luke, being pleasing to the Lord. And now, just a few years later, he's forsaken Paul.
Yeah, and notice what he says, having loved this present world. We're supposed to love the world which is to come. The key to the victorious Christian life is loving the world which is to come, is loving the return of Christ. Remember, Paul says that he's going to receive the crown of righteousness, which everyone who loves his appearing will receive. The point is, we need to be people who focus on Christ's return, and we love the world which is to come, the life which is to come. We don't love this present world. We're not told, by the way, if Demas came back. He might have repented and come back, but at this point, Demas was not overcoming.
A reverse example of that would have been Mark.
Yes.
So Mark was Barnabas' cousin, I believe.
He's the cousin of Barnabas.
And he started working alongside Paul and Barnabas, just like Demas was, and then they experienced a break in fellowship.
Well, in the first missionary journey, he was with them until a point at which he decided to leave. When the going got tough, and after the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas had a dispute over whether to take John Mark on the second missionary journey. And that ultimately resulted in Paul and Barnabas having separate missionary journeys.
Right.
But in Paul's later letters, he talks about John Mark being useful to him and helpful to him. So it's clear that in Paul's mind, as well as Barnabas, John Mark did get his life together and did get back to a victorious living for Christ.
And the Lord used him to write one of the Gospels.
Right. The second Gospel is written by Mark, evidently getting much of his source material from Peter. Of course, he was the cousin of Barnabas as well.
So a lot of people face the same decision. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be a Demas or are you going to be a Mark? I mean, the Christian life is hard for all of us. We all experience hardship that makes us kind of lose our focus on Christ. We might fall away for a time, but the question is, are you going to come back to be an overcomer? Are you going to be a Demas who falls away? Or are you going to be a Mark who falls away and comes back? Well, how can we overcome? So one of the things you mentioned, Bob, was just having a singleness of purpose and just loving the Lord and looking for his appearing. I want to take you to a passage in 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5.
Okay.
Here's what John says. He says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, here's the question. Isn't this passage saying that anyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is automatically a victor over the world?
Okay, there's two ways to understand this. The first way is what you just said, is there is a positional overcoming the world. The moment we believe in Christ, we've overcome the world in our position because we're now in Christ. We're now in the victorious one. Obviously, in Revelation 2 and 3, this is something which is conditional. But if you take this as something which is not conditional, then you'd say, okay, this is part of our position. But I think more likely what John is saying here is that the new birth gives us the possibility of victory. And as long as we live in the faith, consistent with the faith, we continue to be victorious. In other words, we would start the Christian life in a position where we're in fellowship with God, where we're victorious. But if we fall away from the Lord and we're no longer living by faith, we're no longer abiding in the faith, then we would cease to be victorious. And I think that's what's going on here. But either way, there's no conflict between 1 John 5 and Revelation 2 and 3. Revelation 2 and 3 makes it very clear. Well, look at, for example, there's a summary that Jesus gives in the seventh letter in Revelation 3, verse 21. Could you read that?
"To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne."
How did Jesus overcome? Was that just positional? He just came onto the earth and without doing anything, he overcame? No, he said, "It is finished," because he completed the work that the Father had given him to do. In the same way, in order for us to overcome, we must finish the work that Jesus has given us to do. We must persevere in faith and good works. And if we do, then we too will sit on thrones ruling with Jesus, which is, of course, should be the aim of all of us, because we love the world to come.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion about what it means to be an overcomer. What an encouragement. If you'd like to go deeper on subjects like this and others that you've heard on our program, I'd encourage you to go to faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the website are all kinds of free resources, like a subscription to our free print magazine, podcasts, blog posts. You can find information about upcoming live events that we have around the nation. Maybe you'd be interested in giving a tax-deductible donation to the ministry so that we can continue doing the work that we're doing. If that's the case, go to faithalone.org. You might want to reach out to us, and you can do that by email, by sending a message to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to begin a new series called Saved or Lost. So tune in. You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.